May the peace of Christ be with you. This is Molly Vetter, Senior Pastor of the Westwood United Methodist Church in Los Angeles. Welcome to our Sanctuary Gathering podcast. Here we share the sermon preached on Sunday as a part of our Sanctuary Gathering. We hope that in these words you will be drawn closer to God and made more ready to love your neighbor. As a congregation, we embrace the words of the Hebrew prophet that are etched into the stairs that lead to our building, the calling to do justice, to love mercy, and to walk humbly with our God. We also believe that we're a richer congregation for the diversity of people who participate in our community, and we celebrate the diversity of age, race, gender identity, and sexual orientation that participate in our church. You are welcome in this place, and we hope you will participate. We invite you to do your own theology, to wrestle with questions of faith as we seek out what it means to be faithful Christians today. You're welcome to join us not only by listening in to this podcast, but we also invite you to join in our congregational life. Every Sunday, you're welcome to join us for worship at 9:30 a.m. You can join us in our beautiful sanctuary in Los Angeles at the corner of Warner and Wilshire, or online via our church Facebook page. All are welcome in our midst, and we thank you for being a part of our church. May these moments be a blessing to you today. This Sunday is the first Sunday in July that I'm not on vacation, so it officially begins my next year with you, and I'm delighted to be with you for another year. I also am celebrating my 20th anniversary of ordination, or of my commissioning as a pastor, and it's no greater gift than to be here in this place at this time with the work that we're called to before us. I feel blessed and grateful to be with you in this moment and in the coming days. Will you join me in prayer? O Holy Spirit, may my words and our thoughts and our lives reflect the fullness and beauty of your grace. We pray in your holy name. Amen. While I was traveling in recent weeks, I was remembering travel experiences of the past. And as I read the scripture lessons for this morning, these two stories that include in them excessiveness, excessive celebration, and abounding grace. In these stories, I called to mind a moment that happened to me while I was traveling in college. During my senior year, I studied abroad in the West African country of Niger. And at the end of the semester, two of my classmates and I traveled to the coast, to the country of Benin, to do a little tourism nearby. We were following the guidance that came from our Lonely Planet travel guide, which the West Africa guide has not updated every year, so on occasion, the information is a little outdated. It had been an exhausting day of travel by train and by bush taxi. We had followed the directions in the guide to get dropped off at a certain location close to the coast, and we're looking for a motorcycle taxi to take us from where the bush taxi left us to the restaurant campground where we hoped to spend the night. The tour guide told us it was supposed to cost a certain amount. We were used to it costing two or three times that amount, but the motorcycle taxi drivers told us it was going to cost 10 times the amount listed in the guide. Now, I'm not entirely proud of this, but I struggle with how to exist as a U.S. American, as a white woman of relative privilege traveling in the developing world. I struggle with when to fight for the right fair price that most people get and when to simply pay a little more because I can. But 10 times the amount I thought I was supposed to pay was too much for me on that long day of travel, so I mustered my best negotiating, bargaining skills that I had been building, and I did the technique I had learned to get the right price. I said, no thanks, and started walking away. The three of us began walking steps away, hopeful that the taxi drivers would relent and offer us a ride for a more appropriate price, but they did not. The three of us were then walking the two or three miles along the shadeless highway to our destination. I don't know if you've ever been walking, traveling with people who you love, but at a moment where you know it's best if you just don't say anything. It was one of those moments where it was best that we just not talk. The sun grew hotter with every step. The silliness of squabbling over $2 or $3 so that now we had to take this long hot walk at the end of exhausting travel seemed increasingly crazy. As we were walking, a car pulled up alongside us. I was still harboring resentments about what I felt was an unjust price offered to us for this ride. And so I was skeptical about the goodness of humanity. As this car pulled alongside us and the driver rolled down the window, but before I could anyway express my hesitation, my friend Sarah had jumped into the car. Now, my concern and hesitation, my skepticism about the goodness of humanity did not outweigh my loyalty to my friend who is now in the back seat of a strange car, and so Peter and I got in with her. We settled into this ride, and I was still skeptical about what was happening, what the motives were for this stranger who offered us a ride, what the request was going to be of us on the other side. And so I rode in seething silence. I don't know if this ever happens to you while you're traveling. You have these moments of seething silence, but I have them on occasion. The driver was a warm, gregarious, bubbly sort of person. He was from the capital city, not so far away, and he was in this area on business. He started asking us questions about who we were and why we were there. Then I was at a point in my life where I had perceived a call to ministry and had begun laying plans for heading to seminary after my college graduation. I was traveling with atheist and agnostic friends, so this was particularly embarrassing. He asked, "Are you Christian?" And I said I was. They said they weren't. He said, "I don't know about you, but I look out at the world and I can't help but think there must be a God. It's so beautiful. The ocean and the palm trees and the cool breeze. I look at the world and I know that there must be a God because there's so much goodness." He said he was there on business helping build soccer fields so that kids had safe places to play. And he was passionate about his work and helping build better communities for young people and people of all ages. I felt sort of diminished and embarrassed at the posture I began the trip with as he dropped us off at our destination. That evening, we were eating dinner in this small restaurant attached to the campground, and this man came back. And I confess, my first thought was, see, I told you there were going to be strings attached. What is this man coming back for? He came to our table, and he told us he had something in his car that he wanted to share with us. Now, all of the safety lessons I learned as a child seemed to be warning me that perhaps going with this man to the parking lot was not a great idea, but the three of us felt grateful for the ride he'd given, and so we went along. The three of us there in the parking lot of this little restaurant came to this man's trunk, which he opened up, and inside were 12 coconuts, still in their husks, so they were pretty good size. He said, "I don't know if you have these where you live, but we have these fruits called coconuts, and I have so many I wanted to share." And this strange man who'd just given us a ride when we kind of wanted to kill each other now gave us, the three of us, 12 large coconuts. I don't know if you've ever tried to carry 4 large coconuts at the same time, but the simple bodily mechanics of receiving this gift of overwhelming abundance were a strain. It was difficult to receive this gift of abounding grace. He gave us these 12 coconuts, more coconut than we could possibly eat, more coconut than we would want to carry in our small backpacks, coconut enough to share with everyone else staying at that campground. Coconut that required the enlistment of help from the people in the kitchen of the restaurant who had the proper machete-like device to crack into the husk and get at the meat of the coconut. I think of the absurdity of those 12 coconuts. So much that It had to be shared, so much that it could not possibly be consumed. A gift that I hadn't been requesting, but I received, and that was so much more than coconut. I think of that overwhelming lavishing of coconuts on three weary travelers that day, that offering of hospitality and grace in a ride, is a sign for me of what the author of the letter to the Ephesians was talking about as they offered praise to God and described this power of God that is lavished on us. This overwhelming abundance that's given, in the words of the writer of Ephesians, with wisdom and insight. The King James Version translates it as wisdom and prudence. A prudently given, lavish abundance. Right? This is wild. Our God, having thought it through, having chosen wisely, offers us an abounding quantity of grace, a power of love that's more than we could carry, a quality of grace that demands to be shared with wisdom and prudence. Our God chooses to give us more than we can receive. This season of living in our bodies has been a particularly strange one, at least for me, perhaps for you. I don't know how much energy I've wasted trying to smile at people before acknowledging that they can't see my smile because I'm wearing a mask. How much energy I've tried to channel into warm eyes to send out to the world. How strange my body holds itself when I watch people touch things and each other. Because we've conditioned ourselves to a life of caution and precaution in order to guard one another's health. And in this season, extended season of restraint, I find myself hungry for this scripture text today to remember that we come together as those who receive grace from a God who lavishes it in abundance. And this text in Ephesians is set next to this passage from 2 Samuel that has David dancing ecstatically, embarrassingly, enough so that his wife is embarrassed. There's other reasons that she might be disdainful about his dancing, but clearly his dancing is exuberant. It is embodied. It is a full body participation in worship of God. And I find myself this day hungry for practices that remind me that our God intends for our well-being as whole people, as embodied people, and that our God intends to lavish on us grace that gets received by our whole selves. This is radical good news. This is good news that for each of us and for all of us, God's intention is for wholeness and fullness, for joy and abundance, for a grace that can be received to our very core. And so part of our work of faithfulness this day and every day is daring to receive and believe that that is so. To believe that God lavishes love on you. And that in your body, in your life, with your life story, with all of who you are and what you care about, that you are meant to receive a full measure of God's love. And so with our whole selves, in our black bodies and brown bodies and white bodies, in our male and female and non-binary bodies, in our rich bodies and poor bodies, our exhausted and well-rested bodies, our disabled and able-bodied selves, we're invited to receive grace lavished. In our doubts and in our faith, in our questions and our hesitations, with our resentments and our insecurities, we're invited to receive a grace that is lavished upon us. to know it in our whole selves, to believe that God is with us as we are, that God intends for our wholeness and fullness of life. If you're David, it might send you dancing. In recognition of the power of God, in recognition of the power contained in that ark that held the covenant, that established the relationship between God and the people of Israel, David was called to dance. In recognition of that relationship and that power, these days, these hot days, I'm less inclined to dance exuberantly. Sometimes I'm inclined to kick off my shoes and let my feet sink into the earth to know that I stand on and belong as a part of this world, as if I could receive from the ground the blessing of my belonging, of my being held by God. Perhaps these days, these hot days, it's in a cool drink of water where you can feel the coolness as it goes all the way down your throat. Maybe it's that cold drink that will allow you to believe and receive a God who comes into every fiber of your being and intends to bring life and hope. We're called to know and to celebrate. And even as we continue to wear masks and guard precautions, we are no less fully human. And in these moments, our critical need to know God's love through these bodies, through seeing beauty, through touching softness, through tasting goodness, they're an invitation to know our God who abounds in grace. In the Greek, this passage in the Greek used to write this passage in Ephesians, the word translated into English as God lavished on us is the same word used by gospel writers to describe the abundance of food left over after the feeding of the multitude so that it could fill 12 baskets. The same energy that's here portrayed as lavishing grace is the same word used to describe the abundance of food given. It is an invitation to dare to believe that even in the midst of very real struggle and challenge, our God still is pouring out on us and through us amazing gifts meant to remind us of our belovedness and to position us to be able to offer that same grace to others. In this letter to the Ephesians, we hear a call to receive this abounding grace, this redemptive work that's forgiveness and reconciliation, because it makes us a new people. It's a message that's meant not for us in isolation, but for all of us together. It's the kind of grace that compels us to share 12 coconuts with weary strangers somewhere else. It's a grace that compels us to see others with the same eyes of love and compassion that God uses to look on us. We're invited this day to know that we belong together in a community of Christ that is goodness and life and abundance. May it be so. Amen.